Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Hulatanya Edame Yemibal said on Saturdays, the Sabbath. Meskel Abra, the Kokoboch Samayin Asgeta. Kohulum Ahayin Asaye Meskel Abra. The cross shined and had the heavens embroidered with stars. Of all, the sun is seen. The cross shined and had the heavens embroidered with stars.
My God! It's full of stars. My God, it's full of stars.
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 Full of
stars.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Most High Celestial Jah Rastafari. The heavens declare the glory of the Most High, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where thy voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
Rastafari.
As a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit upon the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. At lightning,
everyone should know.
Converting the soul. The testimony of the Most High is true, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Most High are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Most High is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Most High is clear, enduring forever. The judgments of the Most High are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, more than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over I. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Sila, Selassie.
Everyone should know. Everyone should know.
mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Most High, I strength and I redeemer. Healer, last day. Aya Ingi. Imperial Majesty, Emperor, Last Year, Empress, Menenai. I.
Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Let's go.
I and I carry you, Jaja, deep down in my soul. Always hold my hand in up, Jaja, never let me go. I and I walk with you, Jaja, deep down in my soul. Always hold my hand in up, Jaja, never let me go. I and I still walk with the Savior, each and everywhere that I go. Talk with me, ooh, yeah. You are the reason me not in a demand. And you give me peace now me heart all when me get rich and I'm three bodyguard and some big bad dog in a me heart. I and I still a walk with the Savior, each and everywhere that I go. Still not left out the Most High. I not left out the Most High. I still a walk with the Savior, each and everywhere that I go. Jaja with me,
Jaja, yeah, with me.
All in the classroom,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Carry Jaja with me.
Oh, you mean?
In every lane and every crevice and corner,
yeah.
Still I see a yes in my fimi dan dada,
yeah.
From me a little bit of it me one order. For all when me son grandfather,
I and I still a walk with the same.
Each and everywhere that I go,
and
still not left out the Most High. I not left out the Most High.
Still I walk with the Savior,
each and everywhere that I go.
Everywhere
still I left
go.
Him
Most High. So I better walk with me, and talk with me. Cause no matter how much I walk with, without Jah, you're gonna rise it. So walk with me. Nuclear power, no. Down to the very last, our iron is still a war with the Savior. Each and everywhere that I go, till now. For the Most High, no left out. I and I still a walk with the Savior. Each and everywhere. Now left out the Most High. Now left King Safari.
Shabbat Shalom, send us salam here at the 40th degree of I&I sabbatical study here with Balak, and also with Balaam. Balaam, very, very interesting here as we are about to ride up to Aliyot. So first, the Aliyot, first the text, get some of the context, and then to open up the reasonment on who was Balaam, and why was Balaam hired to curse? Right, to curse Yisrael, and how is it that Yahuwah, that Jehovah, right, is in communion or communication with Balaam, who some see as either a false prophet or a prophet for hire or some sort of occultist preacher or practitioner. But to get into a little bit more right here, we're going to ride up right here, but first things first, and did he really speak to the donkey, and did the donkey really speak to him? Another interesting point, we just uploaded a video, vlog, about asking the question, is Christianity the white man's religion? Now, what's interesting is that similar does not mean the same, and this is pointing to Balaam. Right, Balaam, a very interesting contrast here, because how does Balaam know of Yahweh or Yahweh? How is Yahweh speaking to this one that was hired to curse his people? And why was he prevented, right, in the assignment that he was hired? You know, so we put this into the context, you know, of religion, right, and where ones and ones come from a similar background. Right, but as the respective faith of Balaam, a Midianite, as it developed apart from, we can say, the Israelites and the revelation to that seed, you know, the seed of Abraham, we get a kind of a development on one hand, or evolution, a spiritual evolution among the children of Israel, and we get a kind of a little bit of a stagnancy, but in the gaps that were filled in by revelation to the children of Israel and to, you could say, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to sons of Israel, and to Moshe, and to the Israelites, we have Balaam that also says he worships Yahweh, and according to the text, he does, or Yahweh knows him. He knows Yahweh is the God and that he can't do anything beyond him. But the question is, why is he even taking this on? So there's a difference in the revelations. And what we see in Balaam is somewhat of what we see today, nowadays, with so-called spirituality, especially in social media, where, according to Daniel's prophecy, you know, they shall go to and fro, right, and knowledge shall be increased. If we interpret that in science or scientific, not in scientific terminology, that prophecy in Daniel can be pointing to social media and the computer digital age technology, the going to and fro, you know, that could be people literally traveling and going here and there. And we know that that has increased amongst human beings over the past 2,000 or so years. But also the technology of going to and fro in scientific terms, that can be interpreted as, you know, modulation and demodulation, you know, the whole ones and zeros and algorithmic binary, you know, patterns right there. But the key of that is what it points to, that the knowledge, what ones and ones would know or become acquainted with would increase. So we want to contrast Balaam, see who Balaam was, you know, what was his connection with what is obviously, according to the scriptural narrative, patriarchal faith. As we see at the root of Balaam, we find that he was a Midianite. And at the root of the Midianites, according to scripture, according to the Torah, right here, what we're studying right here, we see the Abraham connection. Could that be where Balaam, right, got his Yahwehism or Yahwehism from? But a little bit more praise right here to the evening psalm for the Shabbat, the 92nd psalm. Today we have today's daily psalm, Psalm 116. I want to ride up there briefly, but to get into this Torah reading and feeding, stay tuned. I'd like to go through a synopsis, get an overview, a basic overview, so we can reason on the details and grow in grace and the knowledge of the King of Kings Christ. But right here, Desiree, Most High, Most High, Most High, yes, I, Rastafari. Rise up to me.
The home place is
due for Fontan Moja, Most High, 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 yes, I, Rastafari.
The Most High Jah, deliver me through my troubles and trials. comfort me. The Most High Jah deliver me through my troubles and trials. He comfort me. Don't be bare a table in front of me, in the presence of my enemy. Jah Jah anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Nothing more the pressure where we bear, or we deal with the struggle out there. Uno corrupt is thinking it no fear, uno judgment is drawing near. The Most High Jah deliver me through my troubles and trials. He comfort me. The Most High Jah deliver me through my troubles and trials. He comfort me. He get rough on you them, Babylon you want to shoot them. Tell him a Bobo he'll go make Emmanuel recruit them. Them never know when me a trot, when me used to step it with me back. Me spot them a susu and a trot, and a girl look me name. Tell me a go trot them next lane. Them a set up for me but then give man can't claim. Deep in at them tell them a go shame. The Most High Jah deliver me through my troubles and trials. He comfort me. The Most High deliver me through my troubles and trials. He comfort me. Don't be here a table in front of me, in the presence of my enemy. Jah Jah anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Nothing more the pressure where we bear, or we deal with the struggle out there. Uno corrupt is thinking it no fear, uno judgment is drawing near. The Most High Jah deliver me through my troubles and trials. He comfort me. The Most High Jah deliver me through my troubles and trials. He comfort me. Deliver me through my troubles and trials. He comfort me. The Most High Jah deliver me through my troubles and trials. He comfort me.
Yes, 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 yes. Sleeker, sleeker, sleeker. Mic was on mute right there, there, there. So we just had Fontan Moja with Most High. Before that, Sister Desiree with Most High. And before that, we had Chronics with Most I as a personal pronoun in English for the self, I, so Most I. But here, let's do some study to shoo ourselves approved, because here we have a title, right, a title of Yahweh, of Yahweh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, that actually appears right here, in this Torah reading and feeding here at the 40th degree of our sabbatical study here for Shabbat Balak, featuring Balaam right here. So here, very, very interesting right here. So let's bring this out right here. So we have the Hebrew term Elyon. the Hebrew term Elyon, the Hebrew term Elyon. First of all, this Torah reading and feeding, it constitutes Numbers chapter 22, verse 2, to Numbers chapter 25, verse 9. That's the focus here, this sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong. So right here we have the Torah reading, Numbers chapter 22, verse 2, to chapter 25, verse 9. And here in Numbers chapter 24, verse 16, which is in this sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong, we have this verse here, verse 16, Numbers 24:16. He has said, which heard the words of God, or he has said, who heard the words of God. Here we have El. So it's important for us as we study, we, the once lost, now found, right? We disciples, as we study here the scripture, that we recognize, we get out of the English, this English translation, this English-only translation, using the KJV or the King James Version as a stepping stone, but taking care how we step on that stone or step over that stone, not to stumble on it. So we're using this as a basic point of reference, mainly because in our spiritual, say, scientifical study of the scripture, because science basically means knowledge. What can we know? What can we prove based on the evidence and in context with what we are studying or investigating? As it says in the scripture, to search diligently, right? And also two and three witnesses. But here we have Numbers chapter 24, verse 16. And here, reminding ones that when we see God, God can be either El, or in the Hebrew, or Elohim, or even Eloah. Now, though these are kind of cognates and all refer to common roots, it's important to note that via for the record, right? And how this is not the name El or Elohim or Eloah is not the name of Yahweh, Yahweh, right? But it's attributes or titles. So this verse in Numbers chapter 24, verse 16 says, he has said, now here we get Bilaam, we get Balaam. Just zooming in on this to point out some of our, we could say some of the principles or precepts, right, points of reference that we will be utilizing. So here Balaam is saying, who have said, which heard the words of El, and knew the knowledge, right, the knowledge in the Hebrew, that's da'at. Now da'at, the word da'at, contracted as dot, right, comes down to us and in translation as scientia in the Latin, right, and we get in the Greek, we get gnosis or gnostikoi, right, as a verb, right, as a noun, gnosis, right, in the Greek, where we get Gnostic from. And then in the Latin, we get scientia, right, the proper old Latin, modern Latin, well, actually scientia, that's how we say it today, but scientia is how it most likely would have been said, like we say Caesar today, for example. We say Caesar. That's how they teach us how to read, right? We say Jesus, right? Or you say Jesus, even though it's Jesus. We say Caesar, even though it's Kazar or Kaiser, right? Now, that makes a lot of sense as we start to think about, Kaiser. We say Julius Kaiser. No J, but Julius Kazar. Oh, Kaiser, Kazar, you can see where that investigation can lead to some interesting finds. But here we have the H1847, the word da'at. Da'at in the Hebrew is translated as knowledge. But so is the word scientia or scientia, the word science. Just to point that out, science, scientia, a Latin word that basically means knowledge. But in the latter days and time, like now, we use this terminology, science. So science is knowledge, right? But here we have Balaam saying that he knew, or this man, speaking of himself in the third person sense, he knew the knowledge of da'at, the da'at of the Most High, of Elyon. So here we get the H5945 word. So not only does Balaam, right, know of and is known by Yahweh, Yahweh, right, Elohe Yisrael, the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrews, right? But he also knows of Elyon, and Elyon here being one of the titles, or one might say one of the attributes right, of Elohim, of the Elohei Yisrael, the Elohim, and we want to just point to the Elohim of Yisrael, like we say, the God of these people, the God of those people. We use the term God to refer to the title or to the function. In other words, the God of these people is not necessarily the same God of those people. So the same also applies in the Hebrew studies, because we look into the Hebrew and see when even other people's gods are referred to, the same functional titles. But what is distinguished is the Shem, or the Hashem is the name. So here, Balaam says he knew the knowledge, the da'at of Elyon, and he saw the vision. He saw the vision of Shaddai. So here, Balaam is calling on the attributes that from the Hebrew and the Israelite perspectives is the same attributes, right, of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, of the God of the Hebrews, the God of Israel. So we can ask another question. Was Balaam a Hebrew, or was Balaam or Balaam some type of Hebrew? Now, we're leaning on that second aspect, or that second question. He was some type, some kind of a Hebrew. This is why we link it with the question of, is Christianity a white man's religion, or has Christianity become a white man's religion, or what is Christianity? But that's a follow-up question right there. We're focusing here on the Torah reading and feeding, but we see some of the underlying themes, right, to come out as we get past, you know, the latter-day Gentile Christian mythology. So let's get out of the latter-day Christian mythology, you know, with the way we read this here. That's what we ask the question. Did the donkey really talk to Balaam? Just a question right there. Now, do we doubt that the Almighty is not based on how we translate that Almighty, all able, all powerful to make a donkey talk? But then think about it a lot of times. Don't you talk to your pets? Now, of course, some people are going to say, but my pet don't talk back to me. Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, there's people that have these rolling conversations with animals and creatures, and who knows whether the creature or the animal is not speaking to them. We would say, oh, this is crazy. All right, just put that on the beamer right there. Put that on the table right there, right, to ask that question. Did the donkey really speak to him, right? Or was Balaam just one of these people who are just more in tune with nature, since in a sense we can detect that he was into a kind of a new age form by comparison to the Hebrews. He was into a kind of a new age form of Hebraicism. He was into a new age form of spirituality that has its roots, right, in the common revelation that the Israelites, the Bnei Yisrael, have. They stayed in school more. You know what I mean? Like when somebody's in your same class, you start out in the semester with them, and then you notice they're not there for all the coursework, the lab work here and there, so forth and so on, and then they kind of pop up and show up later on, right? They started out with you together, but then they have a lot of other ideas. You know what I'm saying? They have a lot of other ideas that they bring into it that you know is not a part of the course, because you have been attending and going to class regularly and taking good notes. They started out, they got some of the opening, the basics, and then they went off on their own tangent. Is Balaam someone like this as well? This is why we emphasize the point that he is not so much a false prophet, right, compared to the true prophets. We could call him pseudo, but he's not actually a false prophet, but he is some sort of a prophet or a preacher or a knowledgeable religious person for hire. So, but here he gives his soliloquy, his speech, his revelation right here. And according to the text, this word was put into his mouth. This is why we won't call Balaam, right, a false prophet, because who put that word into his mouth? Interestingly enough, the same, he ascribes this to the same God, the same Elohim, the same power as the power of the Hebrews, the God of the Hebrews, right? So he goes on to say the vision of the Almighty, and then he says falling into a trance. Well, actually, in the KJV, it says he saw the vision of the Almighty of Shaddai falling but having his eyes open. In other words, if you look at the KJV, the King James Version of the Bible, Numbers chapter 24, verse 16, hopefully the Talmudim, whether now or later, will have the opportunity to actually see what we see right here. You'll see the words into a trance. Into a trance, as we mentioned, as a kind of a basic study precept, whenever you find the italicized words in the King James Version, 9 times out of 10, and in many cases, 10 out of 10 times, those words don't appear. So what we do is sometimes reread the verse without the italicizations. And then as we study the Hebrew and some of the other ancient languages, Afro-Asiatic, Afro-Shemitic languages, the Ge'ez or the Royal Amharic, the Negus Negesh Kwankwa, the language of the King of Kings, we begin to recognize that there we have a better reading according to what is actually written, right, in most cases in the translation. So here he says that he saw the vision of Shaddai falling. Well, not Shaddai falling, or was it? We have to look at the Hebrew. Or was it he falling, and they put the words into a trance, right, in order so that one who doesn't speak the language can understand the context? Because out of that context, you would think, oh, he saw the vision of Shaddai, the Almighty, falling. No, he has saw a vision of the Almighty, of Shaddai, as he was falling. As he was falling from, we could say, consciousness, right, into that subconsciousness or that, you know, we'll say, quote, spiritual consciousness, so to speak. But it says right here, but having his eyes open. You ever talking to somebody and, you know, or somebody talking to you and you start thinking about something, you know, you're talking to somebody, you start thinking about something, and it's like the eyes are open, but you could tell they're not really there. Well, this seems to be what the narrator and the scribes are bringing out here in Numbers chapter 24, verse 16, that he has said, which heard the words of El. Note he didn't say the words of Eloah, as Job uses a more archaic and a more Aramaic Eastern Shemitic form. He doesn't say Elohim in that sense, but he says El, of the Almighty. See, actually, El is Almighty, right? And Shaddai. Well, Shaddai is a very interesting one. Shaddai, powerful, one level of it, powerful, burly. It literally means breasted. This is where someone say, well, Shaddai, you know, they link Shaddai with a goddess. How will you say, well, how would they do that? Well, because the word Shad in Hebrew has to do with the breast. And in many of the places in the Hebrew scripture, Shad, right, is often used for a female's breast, right? But not necessarily only. And when it's used for a man, Shaddai, is to say like a man is burly. He's powerful, right? And he can also be a ravager and destroyer. So there's a sense of breast and breasted. Now, we look at that in the female, the feminine sense. A woman's breast can be comforting and nourishing for a babe or, you know, for one who's a little bit older. It depends on if that is your thing. You know what I mean? On the other hand, also, woman might look at man's breast, right, if he's like his pecs, his pectoral, because that seems to symbolize a certain strength. So when looking at Yahweh, we have to see both the masculine as well as the feminine side. I know a lot of other ones, you know, this is where HaSatan, the opposer, the adversarial mind state, has caused one to divide and be conquered in their perception of the Almighty in reality. Either he is all male and everything is male, 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 or he's all female. But why can it not be, as he says in the first book, or Moshe says in his first book, or subscribe to Moshe in his first book, let us make man in our image, right, after our likeness, and male and female, he created them, right? So how could he create them, male and female, unless these attributes of both the male and the female, masculinity and femininity, is in he? Now, if you say, well, that's not the way it is down here, well, actually, if we look at it scientifically, it is that way. Right. If we look at chromosomes and genetics, that it appears that the male has X and Y, right, and that the female has X and X. Some things can be strictly traced from the feminine side, and other things can be strictly traced from the masculine side. And to get a full picture, ideally speaking, we need both. We need the fullness. But the main point right here was on Most High, just to bring out this sense of Most High. So we have the H5945 that appears in one of Balaam's speeches, soliloquies, revelations, namely in Numbers chapter 24, verse 16. He says here that he knew, or the one he's speaking of, ostensibly himself in the third person, right, knew the knowledge, the da'at of Elyon. So let's define terms. Elyon is an attribute, according to the Hebrew scripture, of Yahweh, of the God of the Hebrews, the God of Israel, right? Now, we already know that he knows the name of the God of the Hebrews and the God of Israel, and the God of the Hebrews and the God of Israel, according to the narrative, also knows him and is in communication with him. He is hired to curse, and the reason why he doesn't just run off and go curse or cuss is because Jehovah has told him not to. And he seems, right, he seems to have some regard to that. And according to the scripture, we see the only possible link, according to the narrative, is that Balaam, he is a Midianite. And the Midianites, according to the scripture, descend or come from Abraham and his third wife, Keturah. According to scripture, after Sarah had died, Abraham got a third wife, Keturah, and they had six sons, and one of those sons is Midian. So according to the narrative, that seems like a possible way where this knowledge, right, of Yahweh, hey, of Yahweh or Jehovah, right, of the Tetragrammaton seems to be in circulation, because we have another Midianite. You remember the other Midianite? So we can call this a tale of two Midianites. We have Jethro. Remember Yitro, Yotor, Yitro, Jethro? Jethro, Moshe's Chotain, his father-in-law, right? The father of his wife, I would say, according to a straight reading of the text, you know, his first wife, Tzipora called Zipporah. Right. And he's called in the scripture a priest. Right. He's a priest of Midian. And also after the Exodus, he becomes the first one of 600 something thousand mandem, the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, to bless, to say Baruch, right, to Yahweh, and to come forward after the Exodus to give offerings, so forth and so on. And no one ever said to him, say, hey, wait. You're not an Israelite. You're a Midianite. You can't bless Yahweh. You can't come bring offerings that will be accepted. No, actually, it seems to be a good thing that he did. He also gave advice, right, that later on we find within the text was incorporated, right, within the birth of the Israelite nation regarding the orders of the Shoftim, of the judges, you know, of choosing, you know, certain type of men, right, to be teachers and counselors and judges to keep stability and order, right? In a sense, in the ancient world, they would have been like, I'm not going to say police, but for lack of a better word, they would have been like the police and the legal system, the law and the order, right, within the camp. But now we get another Midianite. Now notice the time factor, according to the narrative, this is at least 40 years later, right? So we have Jethro, the Midianite. He knows of Yahweh, right, of Jehovah. And it would also appear that Moshe got further education. He now gets a more of a Hebrew education, right, through his Midianite father-in-law while he's out in the Midbar in the wilderness of Midian, right, and in the Sinai area, right? So Moses now becomes more original, because Moses up to this point in time was half original. In other words, he knew he was a Hebrew, but he grew up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, according to the text. You know what I mean? And if we place that in a historical context, there is some significant daughters of Pharaoh, but one of the main ones that we point to being a historical link is Hatshepsut. But we'll get into that a little bit more. We just want to zoom in on the Midianites' knowledge of Jehovah, of Yahweh, right? So we see the Midianite Jethro, and now here we have another Midianite, but this Midianite, Balaam, is being called in to curse. Do you think that Balak, the fretful Moabite, Moorish king, do you think that the reason why he called on Balaam was because of that? That he could have called on anybody else. Maybe he did. We don't know. But he could have called on anybody else, you know, his own soothsayers or, you know, magic men, magicians or Obeah men or whatever to do the deed. But he called on this specific one because the knowledge, as Balaam says here in Numbers chapter 24, verse 16, he knew the knowledge of the Most High of Elyon. So let's zoom in on Elyon. We have Elyon here. Elyon, the H5945, Elyon. The BDB defines Elyon. Now remember, Elyon is not so much a name. It could be considered a name in a secondary sense, but it's more properly a attribute or more properly a title of Yahweh, of Yahweh, hey, of Jehovah. The BDB defines Elyon, Elyon, as high, upper, to be high or to be upper in an adjectival sense. The A, 1A, it says of Davidic king. Uh-oh, of what? So the word Elyon, right, as a part of speech, right, can be an adjective, right? It can be used as a title, right? And here in the first example from the Brown's Driver's Briggs definition, we'll get to Strong's after this. Firstly, we have high, so Elyon. Now, let's go to the root for a moment. Elyon, right, is from the H5929. And the H5929 is the word Allah, Allah, not Allah, not Allah, but Allah, Allah. Because we have two A's in the Hebrew, right, as letters, right? We have the Aleph, which is a soft aspirant A, right? If it was that Aleph, it would be like Allah, Allah. We have here an Ayn, Ayn. Ayn is a guttural. It's a guttural. It's like back of the throat kind of a thing. So it's like Allah, Allah, Allah. Right. And it's such a hard sound that in some words that begin with that, other speakers who were not so much native Shemitic speakers, they would pronounce it with a G. So instead of Allah, they might even pronounce it as Allah, 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 Allah. So Allah means to Allah, like the Aliyah. When we say Aliyah, 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 to go up. Right. Allah means to go up. Allah means to ascend. Allah means to climb, to go up, to ascend. That's what we have the Aliyah. In the context, it can mean to meet, to visit, right? But the general idea is to go up, right? For us, when we have the three times in the year or even here for Torah reading and feeding, it's like going up to read, right? Going up to read. It has various senses of it. Also in a latter day in the exilic sense of the exiles, even we, the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah, as well as other Jews, it can mean to return to the land, to return to the promised land. So like going to the promised land is making an aliyah. So ones would say, you know, I'm ready to make that aliyah, that ascension, that going up. That is taken in the context of returning to the promised land. For some, it would mean the state of Israel. For others of us, it would be like east of the river Nile. But here, to ascend, right, to be high, to mount up, to go up, that's the root of Elyon. Now, Elyon, as a title, even in an adjectival sense, is used of the Davidic king, the Davidic king. We didn't say the Israelite king. We said specifically the Davidic king. That means the Israelite king, who is a descendant of Dawid, of David. The Israelite king is exalted, according to HaTorah and the Berit, above other monarchs. The Davidic king, right, is exalted above other monarchs. Therefore, the Davidic king, according to the scripture, the Hebrew scripture, is called Elyon. Did you know that in the Hebrew scriptures, the Davidic king is effectively called Most High? But see, the translators, they do a little fast and loose and everything like that, because I guess people would have, can you imagine the philosophies and ideologies that could develop off of that, right? So the term Elyon, right, when we say El Elyon, El, the Almighty, right, the El, the power, Elyon, the highest power, the highest Almighty, the highest power. The secondary of Elyon, the H5945, is highest. In translation, you might find that when it says highest, the underlying word is Elyon, or the translator might translate as most high, most high. There's where we get Elyon in its usual translation as most high. There, as a noun, masculine. Some would interpret this as a name of Elohim or a name of God. We would say as an attribute, a title, an attribute of El, of Elohim. But it's also, this is the key right here, because when we say, what's that audible right there? Do we have that audible right here? Let's see if we can bring that audible right here. Because some who might not be Rastafari, you know, might find this audible, I don't want to say offensive, whatever, but they might find it like, you know, in their view, they may say, oh, how could you be calling only God is like most high and stuff. Well, they obviously don't know Hebrew. They obviously are caught up in the whitewash or the translation.
King Selassie is the Almighty. I mean. King Selassie is the Almighty.
That's one of the audios right there, but note that the term Elyon is used of Elohim, and Elyon, Most High, right, is also used of rulers, monarchs, right, messenger princes, angel princes, or princes as well, right? The Strongs now bring out Elyon to mean an elevation, in an adjectival sense as lofty. Right, as a title, the supreme. So Elyon also has within it, from an Afro-Shemitic perspective, supremacy. Elyon as a title both of Elohim, of God, and also of man. So we have most, we have higher or highest or uppermost. Let me just go through a couple of quick areas in the scripture, just for ones and ones to kind of get a compare and a contrast of the terms and the terminologies. Here in Genesis, first time we find Elyon in the scripture is in Genesis, Bereshit, Genesis 14 and 18, where it says, and Malakia Tzedek, Meleka Shalem, he brought forth bread and wine, and he was Kohen, he was priest of El Elyon, he was priest of Most High Power, Most High God. In Genesis 14 and 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of El Elyon, of the power Most High, Konei Shemaiwa Aretz, possessor of heaven and earth. Then we have in Genesis 14 and 20, the next verse, and blessed be the Most High God, El Elyon, who hath delivered thine enemies into your hand, and he gave him tithes of all, right? And then once again, now this is all in Genesis chapter 14, 1, 2, 3, 4, got four places in one chapter with Elyon, right? Here in Genesis 14, 22, and Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand to Yahweh, El Elyon. So here Abram connecting the tetragrams and the Yahweh, the Hashem, Yahweh, with El Elyon, with power Most High, Konei, possessor or creator, possessor of heaven and earth. Then where else do we find Elyon used? Here's what's interesting. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 17. And in the uppermost, the Elyon basket. And in the Elyon, the uppermost basket. So in the basket that was Elyon, that was highest, that was above all the rest, that was supreme above all the other baskets. So in the uppermost, the Elyon basket, there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds, the chickpeas and the birds, did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And then the next place we have is right here. The next place we have of Elyon in the Torah is Numbers 24 and 16, right, where Balaam says that he knew, right, the da'at, the knowledge, the science of Elyon. He knew the science of Elyon. Remember the word da'at and the word scientia, scientia in the Greek, and elsewhere if you, in the Latin. Sorry, gnosis is Greek and scientia is Latin. Let me just get to this point right here. So scientia, right? Scientia, when we look in Latin writings, this word is used for knowledge. In fact, we don't have a Latin Bible in front of us, but we're kind of curious as to how Numbers 24 and 16 would read, you know, in the Latin. We'll look into that. And he knew the science. But what Balaam mean is like what we would say today. If he knew the science of the Most High, you see, he has an occultic, right? There seems to be an occultic sort of hidden flavor to it. That's what Balaam was speaking of, and we'll prove it as we move forward. The next place we have Elyon, just looking at Elyon in HaTorah, in the five books of Moshe. Deuteronomy 26 and 19, it says, and to make thee high, to make thee high above all nations that he hath made. Now, here, the first part of this verse in Deuteronomy 26 and 19, the translator translates it as to make thee high. But the word is the same, Elyon, Elyon, which more correctly, it could have been translated as to make thee most high. But that's exactly the same sense of what it's saying. But here they say high. But the Hebrew says Elyon. So what is being said here? Well, here in this verse is being said that Yisrael, Israel, right, in proper Torah observant covenant keeping, that Yisrael, the Beta Israel, in Yahweh's plan is to be most high above all nations. So Yisrael, in worshiping the Most High and doing that which pleases him, becomes also most high. Gets real, recognizes real. So when we might do that which is pleasing to Yahweh, according to his word here in Deuteronomy 26 and 19, he says, and to make thee Elyon. KJV says high here, but elsewhere it said most high. To make thee high, Elyon, most high, above all nations, all other nations. After all, Yisrael also here is a nation. A holy nation, but a nation all the same, that he has made in praise. Now, here's the context of this highness, your highness, right? And to make thee Elyon above all nations that he has made in praise. So we'll be higher than other nations, but how? What's the context? You mean high like I got high the other day, or high in what sense? High, Elyon, in praise. In praise, tehila. We have the Hebrew word tehila, praise, the elilta, the elilililil. That's one way of doing it. That's the literal sense of it, right? That's the literal sense directly. The next way of doing it is giving thanks and praise, which is like exaltation, tehila, tehila. And in name, and in Shem, and in name, in Shem. Now, Shem here is not directly with Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Shem here is Shem as the functional sense of name, that is to say like a reputation, right? High in reputation, high in fame, high in glory, high in the sense of your name is like a memorial. Your name is like a monument. Your name is like a whole stela, a whole glyph, right? And in honor, in tifara. Remember Tifara, and I, we the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah, now so of the Tifara, the Tiferet, link that Hebraically, according to the etymology of the Shemitic Afro-Asiatic languages, to Tifara. So we have Tifari, right, in, or Teferi, Teferi in the Amharic, and here in the Hebrew we have Tifara, 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 right, which is beauty, splendor, glory. Glory in the sense of rank, renown. Also, tifara, Tifari is an attribute of Elohim. Did you know? Tifara is an attribute of Yahweh, Yahweh Eloheinu. Also, honor, the context here, to Yisrael as a nation. The next sense of Tifara can be glorying and can also be boasting. And in the Hebrew, Tifara is a noun feminine, and Teferi, he, B-U-E-B, is a noun masculine. So here it says, and that thou mayest be a holy people, a kadosh goy, a set-apart people, right, to Yahuwah, to Jehovah Eloheka, to he who be, we be thy Elohim, right, as he has spoken. So in Deuteronomy 26 and 19, not only is Yahuwah Eloheinu, is he Elyon, is he most high, but also in Torah observance and in Berit covenant keeping, Yisrael, Israel, is to be Elyon. Israel is to be most high. I and I, the Beta Israel, we are to be most high in covenant keeping, right? In covenant keeping in our Torah observance. That's why I said we did that which pleased, and if we do that which pleases him according to what is written, according to his word, he says, and to make thee Elyon, to make thee most high above all nations, right? Which he has made. That he has made all the other nations, but if we keep the covenant, he will make us Elyon above all other nations in praise, in Tehillah, in name, in Shem, in our name, our fame, our reputation, right? In honor, Tifara, Tifara, at the root of Farai in the Hebrew, that thou mayest be a kadosh goy, a set apart people to Yahweh, Yahweh, he who be, who be, thy Elohim, thy power, as he have spoken. And moreover, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Now, I know we always be looking, not we, but ones always be looking at verse, what is that, verse 68. And to bring thee again into Egypt by way of ships, yes. We look at the end, but how did it begin, right? How did it begin? Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, and it shall come to pass, wahayah, wah and hayah, and it shall be, wahayah, if thou shalt diligently hearken, hearken diligently to the voice of Yahweh Eloheka, to he who be, we be, thy power, thy Elohim, to observe, right, to shamar, to observe, to give heed, to guard, to observe, shema, and to do, and to asa, and to asa, and to do all his commandments that I command thee this day, that Yahweh Eloheka, that Jehovah, he who be, we be, thy power, will set thee on high, will set thee Elohe, will set thee Elyon, will set thee Elyon, Yahweh, thy power will set thee, Elyon, will set thee as most high. So here we're proving that, yes, Yahweh is El Elyon, and when we do his will, we are Elyon. We are most high. Yisrael, Yasharala, is most high. Just gave you two verses right there. Check out the Hebrew full of full for yourself, Deuteronomy 26. And 19, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. 28, verse 1. See, that's what happened in the beginning. But it's obvious, if it's true, Deuteronomy 28, 68, well, that's because we didn't pay attention, or somebody didn't pay attention to Deuteronomy 28 and 1. And then it seals up right here. The last place in HaTorah, in the five books of Moshe, where we have the title, right? Elyon, most high, and that's Deuteronomy 32 and 8. And here the translator of the KJV translates it as, when the most high divided to the nations, the nationalities, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the sons of Israel according to the number of the B'nai Yisrael. So right here, this is the final place right here that we have in the Torah, the five books of Moshe, with the use of Elyon. Now, we have three basic uses. One is as a title, a descriptor, a title of the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Israelites, Yahuwah, Jehovah. We have once in speaking of the uppermost basket that was on one of the Manev head that was talking to Joseph for him to discern and decipher the dream that he had, right? So he's in the highest basket, right? And then in the next sense of it, the two primary senses is of God or of the power of Yahuwah, Jehovah, and is of Yisrael, Yasharallah, of Israel. So Israel, and thirdly, we're not going to go outside of Torah right now, but there's actually 53 verses. We just went through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 verses. So there's 9 places in HaTorah. The two main areas is Elyon being applied to Elohim, to God, if you please, to the power, to Jehovah, Yahuwah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, and being applied to Yisrael, being applied to Ayinai, Yasharallah.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? Children of Israel, saith the Lord.
I lament. Glory to the Most High. I lament. Yes, sir.
Selassie is my light and my salvation. So no evil I shall fear with the king beside me. I lament. Set. I said glory to the Most High, the Most High above everything you do. Praise the Most High, I'm on Zion and I am, yes, this is where I'm going. Praise to the Most High, the Most High above each and every blessing. Why man a chant and wherever you're planted, be life and creation, the bingy man standing. Hey, Babylon and them up for your backstanding. Man a rebel, be life not a man, I just see me rampant. Enough time to Lucifer don't try to tempt me. Enough time me could abide the bend but be Bentley. I love you thing, me never answer to what you suspect me, cause only I am an angel, can't have me. Glory to the Most High. Bush and see come on and gather. Together we can all make it by the blessings of the Most High. And this is what man a pray for, cause life is a treasure. Give love belong backward, belong to Caesar. Sure when me come to me, God dash with the Caesar. They don't have no precept, no for them moving to Pisa. Even them artists can't even speak more than a sleeper. Them just start to lock and start one feet move up like Caesar. What kind of attitude is that? I am the elevator. Glory to the Most High. Most High for everything you do.
Every morning, every morning,
So who is Most High? Who is Most High? Yisrael's Elohim. Our Elohim, our power is Most High. Our King. Our King is Elyon, is Most High. And I and I, in covenant keeping is Most High. Yes, I, praise be El Shaddai.
Hearken unto the words of Jacob. These are the words of our Father, O Israel. Let me live, let Reuben live and never die. I will give praises to the Most High. Let me live, let Reuben live and never die. I will give praises to the Most High. Praises be to the Almighty One. Yeah, you see where we are going. For our sake I make those pleas. For the seed some are sowing. Destroy peace.
Yes, 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 El Shaddai. Jamali right there with El Shaddai. So interesting, how did Balaam know these things? What's really going on here in this Torah reading and feeding right here? So let's go through a brief synopsis. Let's go through a synopsis, a kind of an overview, a study, brief synopsis here for this 40th degree of I&I sabbatical study here for this RSS number 40. Balak, to waste, to run out, waster, some interpret as devastator, waste, something wasting, running out, being exhausted, like finished. You know when you hear ones and ones, especially some of the Israelite women say, I'm done. That done sense, like being finished, I'm enough, like it's enough. That's the kind of idea of what the name, bringing out the sense of the name, to be wasted, to be emptied out, right? But here, let's go through a summary right here for this 40th degree of our sabbatical study for Shabbat Balak, for Senbet Balak. Now, here we have a Torah reading and feeding that's named after a personal person. It's kind of interesting, those Torah readings and feedings and the whole reason on those Torah readings and feeding. This Torah reading and feeding is named after Balak, right? So are you black or are you a Balak? Anyway, the synopsis here, the synopsis, the previous Torah reading and feeding, 39th, was called Hukat. Usually the two often sometimes, you know, can be connected, but here we get an individual study right here in this Hebrew lunar leap year. So previously, 39th degree, we had Hukat from Hakak, like to cut, to engrave. Hukat means a statute, almost like that which is cut or engraved in stone. Hukat had ended with a description of the events that occurred some 38 years after the tragedy or the tragic, quote, fookery of the spies, known conventionally as a sin, the fookery, the falling short, the missing the mark of the spies, or I call it the fookery of the tourists. I call the spies tourists because the Hebrew term for spying is tour, right? So they went to tour, right? But 10 came back with a false report, lies. Only two had a true report, and it seems as though we had a bad exercise of democracy. They listened to the majority, which were wrong, thus the tragedy of the fookery, the sin of the spies. So the Exodus generation was a whole generation of the Exodus. What happened to that Exodus generation? Well, here they finally had deaded up, had died off. They wandered themselves to death. So basically, what we have right here is what we call it a generation gap.
From making the one stop. The generation gap.
So we had the Exodus generation finally dying off. So that means those who Jehovah brought out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, Kemet, you know, land of Ham, out of Egypt, Kemet, so forth and so on, that those who he brought out in the Exodus, that experienced the Exodus, they had finally, by and large, the majority, right, by and large, they had died out. And now there's a new generation is on the rise. There's a new generation. So now we have the youths, a very interesting subject matter here, to explore this from the scripture, because the scripture also highlights this as well, which a lot of people kind of miss over, you know, in their religious kind of mythologies, is that we see right here this generation gap between the old generation and the new generation. We often talk about this among the lost sheep, black people, even now, right? What's wrong with this generation or the young generation don't appreciate all the sacrifices of the old generation and vice versa. The young generation saying, well, yeah, we love, we appreciate love all that you did and everything like that, but give us an opportunity to build on that. So sometimes there is this generation gap. So what we have here is the Exodus generation finally dying out and a new generation of Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, on the rise, as well as getting ready to enter the promised land. They're ready to enter the promised land. Both Sihon, one named Sihon, king of Haimori, king of the Seirs, the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, they had tried to prevent the B'nai Yisrael Jah people, right, from passing through their borders to get to the promised land. But, however, both kings, Sihon and Og, they were decisively defeated by the B'nai Yisrael, by the sons of Israel, or should we say by the new generation, by the youths had finally defeated, right? Because if you scroll back, right, 40 years, 38 to 40 years earlier, the old head, they tried it. They got all bummy and stuff. They told about they was repenting and they had messed up. And after Jah had sentenced them, you know, to the 40-year bid, they were going to go up presumptuously, and they got beaten, according to the scripts. They got chased by bees, by the Amorites and the Canaanites. So they were bruised from that. But now we have a new generation, the B'nai Yisrael, right? And they seem to be doing the right thing. So here's a very interesting thing. Is it always that the youths are wrong? Is it always that the elders are right? Question. Now, this Torah reading and feeding right here, for Shabbat Balak is named after a Moabite king. For today's application, Moorish. Can we say Moorish? Moorish, Zionist, Temple of the Moorish Jews. So we have a Torah portion named after a Moabite king whose name is Balak. The Israelites, they were camped east of the Jordan, right? Some say the Jordan River, near the border of the land of Moab. I'm going to pause here, just put in a little footnote, an audible footnote here. I don't accept, and some of the Havarim also that we've studied this together and also independently, don't accept some of the geographical assumptions. And on some levels, many of them. There are some that we do agree with according to the scripts, but there's like some maps, you know, you might see some maps of how the Israelites, they say where they were in the wilderness, and even where they say Israel was. We don't agree with the interpretations that latter-day, you know, Christianity and even Judaism has applied, even though we must say that there are some even European Jewish scholars also who are recognizing that the evidence on the ground does point to alternative, you know, alternative areas of, first of all, Sinai, something that Sinai was in the Sinai Peninsula, something that was in Arabia, right? Something that the Promised Land was in the Levant, where the state of Israel is today. Others, like ourselves, think that it was a little further south, right, and a little more connected with Arabia, right? Sometimes people confuse when it says Jordan with Jordan River. And I would ask the Habarim disciples to do a little study on the differences between the Jordan and the Jordan River. But that being said, let's move forward. So the B'nai Yisrael, right, accordingly, right, were camped east of the Jordan, some say the Jordan River. They were near the border of the land of Moab. Now, when Balak had considered how the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, right, had defeated Ha'emori, the Amorites, he began to fear, he began to dread, he began to grieve that they were trying to take over the entire region. You know, so this is like a curse them before they grow. Instead of kill them before they grow, this was like a curse them, cuss them before they grow, right? And a very important principle even to what black people have experienced over this 40-plus years, right? But he began to fret, right, to fear that they would try to take over the entire area. And therefore, he sought to make alliances. Now his politics come into it, right, with the nation of Midian. So he's a Moabite, and now he's seeking to make some alliance with a neighboring nation, the Midianites, to create what they call nowadays a united front. You know, you hear people talk about that, right? Unity is a good thing. We pray that all of our enemies will be united, all together, right? So one hammer, one time, you know what I mean? But they're trying to create a united front here. Now, the Midianite princes, I don't know if they caught that one. The Midianite princes explain that since Moshe, right, used the name of Yahweh, right, the Hashem, what we call the Hashem, the name, to strike down enemies in battle, King Balak, he should seek the services of a Midianite, right? A Midianite, what was he? Really, what was he? What did they describe him as in the scripture, right? What is he described as? Some say a magician. Is he a preacher? Is he some sort of a prophet, a spiritualist? I'll say he's a spiritualist, but some call him a magician named Bilaam, Balaam. Since he also knew the Hashem, he knew the Hashem, he knew the divine name Yahweh, Yahweh, and he could use it, right, to invoke a curse. This is the thinking. The thinking goes, right, against the Bnei Yisrael, against the sons of Israel, and I emphasize the sons of Israel, because we'll get to find in this Torah reading and feeding before we go on to the next one, and by the time we reach the next one, that instead of coming out on the battlefield, they actually sent their woman. I want you to think about this. Say you are afraid, or we're afraid of another nation over there because they're making moves, they're defeating enemies, and we're like, they might come for us, you know. So they defeated the ones who defeated us. So, you know, like, what are we going to do, right? And it's obvious, therefore, for that fretting, that fear, that phobia, that we are not inclined to going out there on the battlefield, to giving them the, quote, proverbial smoke or fire, right? So he therefore takes a route of let's curse them, right? Let's curse them, or, quote, demoralize slash curse them. Then later on, we find that they sent their woman. They sent their woman to do the deed that the men, I guess they couldn't do it. They thought themselves out of it. I think this is an interesting point here, because at this particular point, when one king, right, sees a next nation doing things like the new generation of Israelites going to do, you know, and we're doing, they would basically get out there, you know, fight them like the Amorites. They fought and they lost. They fought 40 years earlier and they won, right, and chased the parents. They chased the parents of this new generation all around the block. Right, but this time they got dropped 40 years later. Who knows? You know, as David said, you know, who knows who will fall in back of? You know what I mean? It could have been one of those moves. But instead of doing that, he first of all chooses a kind of, you know, a spiritualist, a cursing, you know, a kind of a more, you know, spiritual kind of occultic solution to the situation. Because he's not really ready to put in that physical work. But then, when putting in physical work, they send their woman. They sent their woman to undermine the Bnei Yisrael. Yashar Allah, Yisrael, hear this. They sent it. And you might say, well, you are what your father is. All right, well, you can say that, and there's a certain level of truth to that, but you're not getting it. That they sent, the enemy sent, right, the friend enemy, actually, Moab, it's Moab after all, right, the Moors, right, the friend enemy, basically they sent their woman, right, according to the narrative right here, right? So the Midianite princes are said to be the ones that explain that since Moses used the Hashem, the name Yahweh, to strike down enemies in battle, that King Balak, he should seek the services of a Midianite magician, right, a cultist named Bilaam. Why? Because he knew the divine name and could use it to invoke word, sound, and power, curse, or consequences against Bnei Yisrael, against the son, the Mandem of Yisrael. Balak then sent messengers, right, after he got that counsel, right, to Bilaam, to Balaam, offering him a lucrative reward. Right, he was trying to offer Balaam like a 360 deal, like you can get this 360 deal, you know, if you can just curse this people, right? Offering him a lucrative reward if he would come and curse the Israelites. Now, after hearing the king's request, however, Balaam, right, he sent the messengers back to Balak with the reply that Elohim had told him not to curse Jah people, not to curse the Bnei Yisrael, not to curse the Israelites, for they are blessed. They are blessed. Now, upon hearing this, Balak, right, the king of Moab, he then delegated. He delegated his highest dignitaries to return to Bilaam and to offer him great honor and even more and more financial rewards if he would just reconsider, right? When Bilaam consulted with Elohim the second time, he was allowed to go, though he was warned to speak only whatever Elohim commanded him, right? Whatever Elohim commanded him. Now, this is a summary right here. There's a part that if they had called him to go out with him, right? If they called him, right, to go out with him. But also there's a part, we're going to get into details in a narrative, where it seems as though these princes and dignitaries, some of them also magicians and soothsayers and occultists and spiritualists, that they brought certain books. Some people say it was some magical, some scrolls, some ancient scrolls. Now, these scrolls, right, they could be from a variety of nations. In fact, some of it is what archaeologists have found in ancient Egypt. They found in Assyria. They found in a lot of other ancient cultures. You know, certain what they would call magical, you know, texts or cultic texts. And that's a part that you get when you're reading the Hebrew and you're studying the Hebrew, but it's often not brought out in translation. But the very next morning, Balaam, he saddled his donkey and began making his way to Moab. As he journeyed, however, his donkey saw the Malach Yahweh, right, the angel of Jehovah blocking the way. As she balked and brayed, Balaam, he began to beat the animal until Elohim gave her a voice to rebuke him. You know, it could always have been a voice in his head. You know, remember, he's a spiritualist. He's a cult. Right, Elohim then opened Balaam's eyes to see HaMelech, to see the angel of the presence, the angel of Yahweh, who repeated the warning to speak only as he was directed. In other words, to do as directed, to take your donkey there as directed. When he finally arrives in Moab, Balaam instructed King Balak to build 7 altars and to offer a ram and a bull on each one in a sacrificial rite. As Balaam went to consult with Yahweh, right, Elohim, right, the power put a word in his mouth. So in the scripture says that the power Jehovah put a word in his mouth. Not just like one word. When you use word, it could be a word as one word, or it could be a reasoning, like a matter, that forced him to proclaim El's words of Baraka upon the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel. When Balak now, you know, no doubt standing around hearing Balaam, his sorcerer for hire, so to speak, you know, speaking, you know, but I don't want to just give him that sorcerer term. Because remember, on one level, it appears that he is similar to Jethro in his knowledge of Jehovah, but then he kind of like he has side jobs, right? And he's been called to do a side job, almost as like a cultic mercenary right here. So when Balak heard this, he was exasperated, like the name Balak. He was worn out, right? And he took Balaam to a different place, a different spot. He was hoping and expecting that the prophet would be enabled to curse the Bnei Yisrael from over there, from there. At each place, and you see them bouncing around from spot to spot. However, Bilaam, he blessed, he prospered, he invoked words of prosperity and increase on the Bnei Yisrael, on the sons of Israel, on the Israelites. To the consternation of Balak, finally, King Balak, he fretted, he bitched and moaned, and he fretted, and he dismissed Bilaam. But before he returned to Midian, Bilaam, he had prophesied. He had one more prophecy to prophesy. What did Bilaam prophesy? He prophesied the destruction of Moab. Now, check that out. You call somebody to curse somebody to do some voodoo, obia, some magic, some spiritualist, you know, science on somebody. And then at the end of everything they saying, instead of cursing the person, they blessing the person. And then at the end, you say, you know, get out of here, just go. Right? And say, oh, I got one more thing. I got a prophecy. This person's going to destroy you. That's basically what Bilaam did. He prophesied the destruction of Moab, right, and the surrounding nations, because he already got to see, and that word that was put in his mouth, right, by Jehovah, it was a conspiracy. They basically was getting together, against, in effect, who would be from their ethnic kind of relationship, according to the scripts and so forth and so on, their related people. They were family. But it's like Israel was still the youngest. All the other ones had already cut out a piece of land for themselves, right? And now Yisrael, right, kind of like moving slow. The Israelites moving slow. They're like new kids on the block, so to speak, right? And all the older kids, you know, you ever been that young one, that baby in the family, and all the bigger brothers and sisters and everybody, it's like they're not giving you that peace. And in a sense, sometimes it's like they're even scheming against you. Well, this is the case of the Bnei Yisrael. All the rest of them had gotten the piece of land, the Edomites, the Moabites, the Midianites. Everybody was like, you know, living lovely, so to speak, right? But now the children of Israel, you know, they're trying to call in favors because of some, quote, familial relationship. And basically getting the doors slammed in the face. They got to kick down some doors, like the Amorite doors. And now they're getting Balak, the Moabites, right, calling out somebody to cuss them. Now, though Elohim had miraculously overruled his tongue, that's what Jehovah did. He overruled Bilaam's tongue. Now, Bilaam, his name is kind of interesting from Hebrew, Bilaam, like not of the people. You know, one who is not of the people is one interpretation of the name. So his tongue was overruled, right? When he's about to go and John said, objection, you know, it was objected to. So he was unable to curse, right, or to pronounce, to invoke negative consequence, negative words, heka, hekau. Right? Of course, Bilaam knew of the Hekau from Egypt and other neighboring peoples and nations, but he was unable to curse Yisrael, Yasharala. Bilaam, still, he remained twisted and crooked in his heart. Because see, what Bilaam was thinking was that, man, I lost out on a big payday. Oh, man, you know, but I can't go against Yahweh. I can't go against him. So he still had that perversion, that twistedness in his heart, menafikun, right? And so he plotted with Balak about how to weaken Ha'am, how to weaken Jah people by enticing them to sin, to fukery, right? We have this in Numbers 31 and 6. This is where we get in the New Testament. It speaks about the way of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam, and the era of Balaam, even in the Chazon of Yohanan, in Revelation, the vision of John, of Yohanan, it even says right there, you know, to teach the people, like, to corrupt themselves. Basically, bringing out the sense of, we can't curse as people. It's like black people in America at one time. Though we experienced a lot of things and people with, you know, white racism and supremacy were seeking to curse us, we were not cursed. Until civil rights, right, until that 40 years began from the 70s. Because what happened then we started to curse ourselves. We started to demoralize ourselves, if you know what I'm saying. Then we saw the nuclear black family, the so-called Adamic family, as it were, melt down. Then we got all these uckeries, you know, as we were free. As my nana said a long time ago, I got to share with you right here. He said, free until you're full. But that was part of the strategy that Bilaam reasoned, right? He reasoned that you have to weaken the people by enticing them, tempting them to fukery, to uckery, to fornication. You know, you have to cause them to do it to themselves, you know, to let them call their woman bitches and hoes, right? And then pimp them and whore them out, right? Basically, you know, except this time, Bilaam, right, encouraged Balak to send his own woman, right, on the sons of Israel, right? And so Baal Peor, well, we're about to get to there. Balaam reasoned that if he was successful in demoralizing, right, demoralizing the people who could not be cursed. In other words, get the people who can't be cursed to curse themselves. Yasharala, Yisrael's baraka, blessing, would be withdrawn, and Yahweh would then judge them for their transgression. Basically, Bilaam could even see, right, that, you know, they're not perfect, but from Yahweh's perspective, they're doing a lot in his will. You know what I mean? They're not perfect. You know what I mean? In that sense, in the ultimate sense, absolute sense of perfection. But they're not really doing any uckery either. So if you can make them do some uckery, you would basically, in effect, be making them curse themselves. And by making them curse themselves, the uckery that they'll be doing under your enticement would get the righteous Jehovah to judge them for their transgression because they are a covenant people. So if you get them to break the terms and conditions of the covenant, then they'll be responsible for the debt. So apparently Balaam, he brought young Midianite, right, woman to the edge of Israel's camp to offer themselves to the Israelite men on the condition that they would worship Baal Peor. Baal Peor, some say a local Shemitic deity, right? It was somewhat syncretic, you know, where they mix the best attributes of different people's spiritualism. I mean, spiritualistic people do that today. You know, mix the best all together and figure if you take the best, you have something better, right? But Baal Peor was basically like a mega strip club. It was like the mega strip club, right? Now, when the B'nai Yisrael men began cavorting with the woman, and see, this is what the Torah says when you start to read it from the Hebrew. It says, don't make no marriages with their daughters, because if your sons marry their daughters, the daughters will get them to worship their God. But what the Hebrew is actually saying is that if the sons of Yisrael now marry the daughters of the other nations, the daughters of other nations being faithful to what they believe will get your sons to worship their goddesses. To worship their goddesses, sex goddesses. Well, a goddess is a goddess, right? So when the B'nai Yisrael men began cavorting with the woman, Elohim immediately, he ordered the leaders of Ha'am, of the people, of Jah people, to be slain. Some say hung, but if you read the Hebrew, we could bring out of it an ancient punishment that even the Egyptians, the Kemetics, they did this. Oh, wow. You know, basically impaling. You know what impaling is? All right. Now, some say they was probably hung, but the same word in the context could mean impale. They were lynched. They were hung. They were impaled for their uckery. They were the leaders. So if the leaders, even if the leaders were not so much doing it, but you were the leaders, you're the headmen of your people. So it wasn't like you were elder in the community and you ain't got no responsibility, or something happens under your eldership and you're like, I didn't know about that. Well, now that you know what you, oh, it didn't have nothing to do with me. I didn't do that. Well, you're going to be hung too. That's what Jah had ordered, right? Responsibility. In punishment for their idolatry, a plague broke out and Moshe instructed the Shoftim. Moses instructed the Shoftim. Now, the Shoftim, interesting, we had Psalm 82 previously, right? Also, the Tuesday evening Psalm, it speak about, I have said ye are gods. And so from the Torah, right, and from the Hebrew perspective, we can clearly see that the gods, the Elohim, collectively speaking, are the Shoftim. And they're the Shoftim because they carry out the edicts of the Elohim. So Moshe instructed the Shoftim, the judges, to kill all those who, quote, yoked themselves to Baal, Baal, the owner of Peor, right? Baal Fegor. Some call it the Lord of the Opening. Now you go imagine, you can see all the connections there. You know, so ain't nothing new under the sun, you know. They yoked themselves to the Lord of the Opening, to the Baal. So they didn't really worship Baal. They worship Baal like, okay, you are John. Let's say you are John, right? And you always like these kind of women or this kind of woman or this woman. Basically, you are serving the pimp. The pimp will be the Baal, right? And the Peor, the Fegor, well, Lord of the Opening, go figure, right? Before the order was carried out, however, there was a prince, a Nasi, he's a headman. You can say he's a Rosh, he's like a chief, from the tribe of Simeon, right? Zimri, right? He publicly, now Zimri is interesting because Zamar mean like to chant like a psalm or to sing a song. So Zimri could also be brought out as a singer. See what happened with the music, right? Reggae, hip hop. You see what happened with the music? A prince from the tribe of Simeon, Zimri, he publicly took a Midianite princess into a tent set up near the tabernacle. You know, he basically what was happening, they was having kind of like a prayer and worship. Like they was having a lamentation service, a mourning service. A lot of people was killed. A lot of people were dying. A lot of people were sick. A lot of people had caught some ancient form of venereal diseases and everything like that. You know, so ones are weeping, lamenting, and then strolling through the crowd, right, is you could say, is one bringing like a foreign, you know, like bringing this foreign woman acting in a spiritual prostitution aspect into the camp right while everybody's mourning about others who were doing the same thing who had died, right, or were put to death. Now, when Phineas, Phi Nahas, the peh, the pi in the Hebrew is mouth, fe, fi, fi, fe, mouth in Hebrew, Nahas, or Nahash in the Hebrew is serpent. So Phineas' name means brazen mouth, or literally mouth of the serpent, right? Brazen mouth. It can also mean brass, Nahash. So when Phineas, the son of Eleazar and grandson, he was grandson of Aharon, of Aaron, when he saw this, however, he took up a spear and he juked them, right? He impaled them both. There's some interesting ideas based on reading the text about where, how he stuck them, but they were already stuck together, and with his spear, he made it a little more permanent. By thereby stopping the plague that was among Jah people, because of what Phineas did, his act acted as a form of an atonement, in a sense. Kind of interesting. Let's reason on that. In this way, Bilaam, finally, he succeeded in cursing Jah people, the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel. He succeeded. And 24,000 Israelites died. We could say, based on the text and based on the context of the Ukkari, you could say 24,000 men of Yisrael died. Think about that. Think about the, you know, the lack of men and the lack of good men and black men. Imagine that lack of men. There, 24,000 in this kind of uckery. So we're going to pick up on this a little bit more right here. Next up is, who was Bilaam? Get into Bilaam, son of Beor, as we ride up right here. We've got 12 minutes. I'm going to go through the basic narrative here for this 40th sabbatical study, and then touch on some of these other interesting aspects, right, and how the science, the knowledge of the scripture can be, right, or may be applied, right, may be applied today. So here. Yes, sir. All right.
For making the one stop, the generation gap. The generation gap. The generation gap.
Wow, just thought of it from the Hebrew, Peor.
Peor,
Peor, you know, the generation gap, the Lord of the gap. Yes. So here, just briefly here, today's daily psalm, just a ride up, here, Psalm 116, here on July 16th, according to the Gregorian, here from the Royal Order.
Psalm 116.
Mizmor Kuftet Zayin.
I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. My supplications.
Ahavti ki yishma Adonai. Et koli tahanunai.
Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. As I live.
Ki hita oznoli uvyamai ekra.
The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah,
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 yes, yes, yes. Today's daily Psalm 116. Now, as audible, we'd like to share, probably shared in the first day service, aka the Sunday service, at the top of the Iowa around 1, at least Eastern Standard Time, 1 a.m. for the first day service, the Sunday service. But in today's daily Psalm, it's interesting how it corresponds even here with the theme of this 40th sabbatical study, the death of his saints, that even though, right, these ones who had ucked up, still we find it within the scripts that he refers to them still as his saints, as his set apart one. They were supposed to be set apart. They ucked up, but he had set for them to be set apart, and it's a loss of their lives that is not pleasing, right, in the almighty sight. There is an application of it even right here, as is the principle that we have even in the Brit Chadasha in the New Testament that can be summed up in this little radio clip here.
And this came, now he says it's touching the dead that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living.
So that principle right there, but since they had joined themselves to death, then death, you know, speaking Hebrew karmically, you know, was what they had received for their actions. But here, I'd like to ride up with this aliyot, the aliyot here, so we can get into some of the reasonment, right? Because there's a lot that's packed in, but there's a central theme right here. And thought for the Shavuah, life's little interruptions. Let's talk on just briefly here, more of the full at LOJS.org on the weekly Torah readings link. Here we have just a small portion commentary here, life's little interruptions. One of the thoughts for the Shavuah, for the sabbatical, if Elohim can speak through a donkey, just let's take that right there, speak through a donkey or cause a donkey to speak, right? He can speak through anything or anyone. A person should always be attentive to the words of others, right? Always listening for the voice of Yahweh, of Yahuwah, of he who be, we be. Now, of course, some would reason and say, oh, you really believe that a donkey can talk I think that the Almighty is able to do all things just based on the principle of what we're saying, right, in English, almighty, all ability. But when we consider Balaam, right, and we consider the sort of person Balaam was and consider people do speak to their pets and their animals all the times, and sometimes their pets and their animals in their own perception, right, speak to them. This is what perhaps separates Balaam from all other people, that if Balak had asked them to curse Israel, they would have probably went ahead and attempted to do so, but not Balaam. Commentary. The angel, the Malaak of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, appeared, right, appeared on the road with a drawn sword in his hand to stop Balaam, to stop Balaam. To Balaam, to Balaam, the Malaak, the angel, was invisible, according to the scripts here. But to the donkey, to she, right, on her, which Balaam was riding, she could see the Malaak. Now, science tells us that animals are able to hear sounds that is below human perception, right? Allegedly, that's how it is right now. Maybe it wasn't always that way, but maybe that's part of the fall or devolution, right? Right, the opposite of evolution, right? Spiritual evolution. But then we also know that there are those who do communicate with animals. Now, you may not want to believe that, but through certain types of investigations, something is going on that's beyond what we can see, right? So there's other areas of reality beyond what we can see, right? But the basic point right here is that the animal could see that which Balaam initially could not see. So the 2 points of Balaam talking to the donkey, according to the scripture here, and then the donkey, she's seeing an angel, a messenger. She's seeing someone there that Balaam could not see at first there. These 2 points are connected right here, here, here. But anyway, brothers and sisters and brothers, we got 2 minutes right here. Like to get ready right here to go on the air with the Aliyot, picking up Numbers chapter 22, verse 2, to Numbers chapter 25, verse 9. The prophet's reading here, the Haftarah, is Micah. Micah chapter 5, focus verses 6 to chapter 6, verse 8. And in the Brit Chadasha, the Hadish Kidan, the Hadith Kidan, the New Covenant, Renewed Covenant reading, we have Romans chapter 11, verses 25 to 32.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel? Saith the Lord.
Baruch atah Adonai.
Yes! Rastafari. Yes! Rastafari.
Go here, 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 according to the tribe, the baraka, the blessing for the reading of HaTorah, Jah's direction, instructions, teaching.
Barku et Yahuwaham Barak. Barku et Adonai. Hamborak, bless Adonai, who is blessed. Baruch Adonai Hamborak le'olam wa'ad. Blessed is Adonai, who is blessed now and forever, now and forever. Baruch Adonai Hamborak le'olam wa'ed. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melek ha'olam. Asher bahar banu mikol ha'amim. U'natan lanu et torato. Baruch ata Adonai noten ha'torah. Blessed is Adonai, who is blessed now and forever and forever. Blessed art the I, Adonai, I and I Elohim, sovereign of the universe, king of the universe, eternal king, who has chosen I and I from among the peoples and given us the Torah, Ha Torah, Torato, his Torah. Bless be thee, I, Adonai, who gives Ha Torah.
Live by the Torah and the wicked are gonna crumble. Babi Bible, shout up two sons and the wicked them trimble. Live by Babi Bible, shout up two sons and the wicked them trimble. Live by the Torah and the wicked are gonna crumble.
Blessings of the Torah. Before the Torah portion reading, in the Hebrew and English tongue. Baruchu et Yahweh Hamvarach. Baruch Yahweh Hamvarach. Leolam vayeh. Baruch atah Yahweh. Eloheinu melech haolam, asher bekarbenu mebo hamayim, venutan lanu et torato. Baruch ata Yahweh, notein ha Torah. Bless Yahweh, the Blessed One. Bless this Yahweh, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our Almighty, King of the universe, who selected us from all the peoples and gave us his Torah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, giver of the Torah.
Joy is in thy light, and I in thy dear testament of the light that shineth through the night. Humble lion, I not to forward and reach a mount lion. To be following the light of the Lamb and the Lion, the Most Holy One, the Father and the Son. Read it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. May I tell you not read up your Bible.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai
Echad. Shema Yisrael, hear, 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 give ear, right here, for this Shabbat Balak. Shabbat Bala, 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 Bala. And here the Rishon, the first. Aliyah, 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 Aliyah. For this Shabbat, Shabbat Balak. Here picking up the fourth book of Moshe, Moses, the Hebrew book that's called Numbers, the Sefer Bamidbar. Here picking up with Numbers chapter 22, verse 2. For this 40th weekly Torah portion reading and feeding and annual Rastafari sabbatical studies, and for this Shabbat 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 Balak. Here, here, here. The first, the Rishon, the first Aliyah, offering up Anafora for this Shabbat Balak. Sendet Balak. Here, Numbers 22, verse 2. Beshem Ha'av Wehabein Weruach HaKadosh Yahuwah Echad. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One, the One, the One, the One, the One, the One, the One. Here, picking up with the Rishon, the first Aliyah for Shabbat Balak. Wayare Balak Ben Sipor Et Kol Asher Asa Israel La Emori, and Balak, the son of Zippor, ben Zippor, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of Ha'am, the people, because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the Bnei Yisrael, because of the sons, the children of Yisrael. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak ben Zippor, Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, to Bileam, to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of Amor, his people, to call him, saying, Hinei, behold, there is a people come Mimitzrayim, out of Kemet, out of Egypt, out of Mitzrayim. Hinei, behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, perhaps, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I want that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. For I wot, for I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the Ziknei Moab, the elders of Moab, and the Ziknei Midian, the elders of Midian, departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came to Bileam, to Balaam, and spake to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as Yahweh, as Jehovah, as the Yahweh shall speak to me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And Elohim came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said to Ha-Elohim, the true God, Balak ben Zippor, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent to me, saying, Hinei, behold, there is a people come Mimitzrayim, out of Kemet, out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure, perhaps, maybe, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And Elohim said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse Ha'am, the people, for they are blessed, 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 blessed. Shema Yisrael. Hear, 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 give ear right here for the Sheni. The Sheni, Aliyah, 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 Aliyah. The second Aliyah for this Shabbat, Balak. Here, picking up the fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Numbers chapter 22. Here at verse 13 for the Sheini Aliyah, the second Aliyah, second offering up for this Shabbat, Balak. Vayakama Bileam, Babokar, Vayomer Ella Sare Balak, Leku Ella Arskem, Kia Mehena Yhua, Le Titia Lahlok Imakem. Here, picking up the Sheni, the second Aliyah for the Shabbat, Balak, here, Numbers 22, verse 13, and Balaam rose up. Vayakam Bileam, and Balaam rose up in the morning. Vayakam Bileam Baboker, and Balaam rose up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, and said to the princes of Balak, Vayomer il Sarei Balak, get you into your land. For the Yahweh, he who be who he be, refuses to give me leave to go with you. Ki me heini Yahuwah le titi lahloka imakem. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went to Balak, and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam, and said to him, thus, like this saith Balak, ben Zippor, the son of Zippor, let no thing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming to me, for I will promote thee to very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest to me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of Yahuwah Elohai. Go beyond the word of he who he be, my Elohim, to do less or more. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry y'all also here this night, that I may know what the Yahweh will say to me more. And Elohim came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the man come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say to thee, that shalt thou do, thou do, thou do, thou do.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad,
Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
Of Numbers. Here we are at Numbers chapter 22, picking up with verse 21. And here, Shema Yisrael, Shema. And here, Shema Yisrael, Shema. Here, give ear. Right here is the Shalishi Aliyah. Offering up an Afora here for this Shabbat Balak. Here, picking up with the fourth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book of Numbers. Here we are at Numbers chapter 22, picking up with verse 21. 22, 21, here for the Shalishi Aliyah, for this Shabbat Balak, Senbet Balak. Wayakam Bil'am Baboker, Wayahbosh. Etta etono wa yelek im sare Moab. And Balaam, Bil'am, rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Wayakam Bil'am baboker. Wayahbosh. Et etono wayelek im sare Moab. And Elohim's anger was kindled because he went, and the Malaki Yahuwah and the angel of Jehovah stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the Malaki Yahuwah, the angel of Jehovah, standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Bil'am smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the Malaki Yahuwah, or the angel of Jehovah, stood in a path in the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the Malak Yahuwah, the angel of Jehovah, she thrust herself to the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the Malaki Yahuwah and the angel of Jehovah went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the Malak Yahuwah, the angel of Jehovah, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Yahuwah Yahweh, Yahweh, Jehovah, opened the mouth of the ass, and she said to Bilam, what have I done to thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Bilam said to the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said to Bilam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine to this day? Was I ever wont to do so to thee? And he said, nay. Then Yahuwah, Yahuwah, Jehovah opened the eyes of Bilam, and he saw the Melaki Yahuwah, the angel of Jehovah, standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel, the Melaki Yahuwah, said to him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Bilam said to the Malachi Yahuwah, the angel of Jehovah, the angel of Yahweh, I have sinned, I have puffed up, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the Malachi Yahuwah and the angel of Jehovah, the angel of Yahweh, said to Bilam, go with the man, but only the word that I shall speak to thee, that thou shalt speak. So Bilam, Balaam, went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Bilam, that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him to a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said to Bilam, to Balaam, did I not earnestly send to thee, to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not to me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Bilam and Balaam said to Balak, lo, look, I am come to thee. Have I now in power at all to say anything? To say anything? The word that Elohim putteth in my mouth, that shall
I speak. 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 I speak.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
And hear, 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 Shema, give ear right here, hear, 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 for the Rabbi Aliyah, for the fourth Aliyah, for this Shabbat Balak. Here, picking up the fourth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that's called Numbers. Here, Numbers chapter 22, here at verse 39, for the Rabbi Aliyah, for this Shabbat, Shabbat Balak. Here, picking up with Numbers chapter 22, here at verse 39, for the Rabbi, the fourth Aliyah, offering up Anaphora for this Shabbat Balak. Wayeleka Bilam im Balak, Wayabua Kiryata Chutzot. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiryata Chutzot. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam, and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam, and brought him up into the high places of Baal, into the high places of Baal, that thence there he might see the utmost part of Ha'am, the utmost part of the people, the people, the people, the people, the people, the people. Here, 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 fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book that is called Numbers, Numbers chapter 23, Balaam, the prophecy from the high places of Baal, of Baal, the separation of Yisrael. And Balaam said to Balak, build me here seven altars, and prepare me here seven oxen and seven rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said to Balak, stand by thy olah, thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure, perhaps, the Yahweh will come to meet me. And whatsoever he sheweth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And Elohim met Balaam, and he said to him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And Yahweh, Jehovah, and Yahweh put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak. And thus, like this, thou shalt speak. And he returned to him, and lo, he stood by his Orlah, his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable, and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Yaakov, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom Elohim have not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom Yahweh, Jehovah, hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, Ha'am, the people, shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the Goyim, among the nations. Who can count the dust of Yaakov, of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said to Balaam, what hast thou done to me? I took thee to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which Yahweh, Yahweh, Jehovah, hath put in my mouth, 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 in my mouth.
Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of...
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Shema Yisrael, Shema Rastafari. Here, 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 here for the fifth, the Hamishi Aliyah, for this Shabbat,
Shabbat,
Shabbat, Shabbat. Balak here, picking up with the fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Numbers, Numbers chapter 23. Here, here, here,
here, here, here,
here, here, here, here, here, here, here at verse 13, for the Hamishi Aliyah, 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 Aliyah. Bil'am, Bil'am, Balaam, the prophecy from Pisgah, the justification and power of Israel. Here for the Hamishi Aliyah, Numbers chapter 23, here at verse 13. Why yomer elayo balak likana iti yaila makom acher ashtireinu mishama etes katzehu tire wi kulolo tire wi kabno li misham. Here, 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 for the Hamishi Aliyah. And Balak said to him, come, I pray that I, with me to another place from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see them, but the uttermost part of them, and shalt not see them all. And curse me them from thence, from there,
from there,
from there, from there. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said to Balak, stand here by thy Orlah, thy burnt offering, while I meet Yahweh yonder, 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 yonder. And Yahweh, Jehovah, the Yahweh, met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, go again to Balak, 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 Balak. And say thus, say like this. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his Orlah, his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, what hath the Yahweh spoken, 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 spoken? And he took up his parable,
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 parable, parable, parable, and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken to I, thou son of Zippor. God, El, is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Do it? Do it? Do it? Do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Get good? Get good? Get good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Yaakov and Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahweh, El Hayu, 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 El Hayu. His Elohim is with him. And the shout of a king. Is among them. El boy the Mimitzraim out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Yaakov, neither is there any divination against Yisrael. According to this time, this Iowa, it shall be said of Yaakov and of Yisrael, what hath El brought? Behold, the people, her arm shall rise up as
a lion.
Great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain, And Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said to Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Yahweh speaketh, that I must do, for the Sheshi, for the sixth Aliyah, offering up Anafora for this Shabbat Balak, the Sheshi Aliyah. Why Omer Balak illa bil alma, elika na, ek acheka, illa makom achera, ulaya ishar, be aineya ha Elohima, wea kaboto liya misham. Here for the Sheshi Aliyah, Balaam, the prophecy from Peor, first item, the beauty and order of Yisrael, the IT, the beauty and order of Yisrael. For the Sheshi Aliyah, Numbers 23, verse 27, and Balak said to Balaam, Likana! Come, I pray the eye. I will bring the eye to another place. Peradventure, perhaps, it will please. It will please High Elohim, the true good, the true God, that thou, the eye, mayest curse me, them, from thence, from there. And Balak brought Balaam to the top of Peor, that looketh toward Yeshimon, Cheshimon. And Balaam said to Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. Hear. Fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book, called Numbers chapter 24. And when Balaam saw that it pleased Yahweh, the Yahweh, Jehovah, to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness, toward the Midbar. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents, according to their tribes. And the spirit of Elohim came upon him. And he took up his parable, and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, have said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. He hath said, which heard the words of El. Which heard Imre El, the words of El. Which saw the vision of Shaddai, the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Yaakov, and thy tabernacles, O Yisrael, as the valleys they are spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of lean aloes, which the Yahweh hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. El brought him forth, forward, Mimitzrayim, out of Kemet, out of Gibbet, out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. He shall eat up the Goyim, the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a lioness. who shall rouse him up, 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 up. Kara'a shakav kari ukalabi mi yikimenu. He couched, he lay down as a lion and as a lioness. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Bilam, and he smote his hands together, together. Hey, and Balak said to Bilam, hey, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I sought to promote thy to great honor, but lo, Yahweh, the Yahweh hath kept thee back from honor. And Bilam said to Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers when thou sentest to me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Yahweh to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Yahweh Yahweh Jehovah saith, that will I seek, 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 that will I seek. Give ear, give ear, right here for the Shabbi'i. The Shabbi'i, Aliyah, 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 Aliyah. For this Shabbat Balak, the seventh offering up, Aliyah, seventh Anafora for this Shabbat. Shabbat Balak, Sendat Balak, the Shabbi'i. Here for Book of Moses, Hebrew book called Numbers. Here in Numbers, at Numbers chapter 24, here at verse 14 for the Shabbi'i, the seventh Aliyah. Wi'ata hine holeka li'amika lika iya atika hasher ya'ise ha'am hazet li'amika bi'achrita ha'yamin. And now, behold, wi'ata hine, I go to my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people, to thy people, the achrit hayamin, in the latter day, latter days, 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 days. Bil'am, Bil'am, the prophecy from Peor. Second item, the messianic kingdom, the messianic government, verse 15. And he took up his parable and said, Bil'am, the son of Peor, have said, and the man whose eyes are open have said, he have said, which heard the words of El, of Elohim, which heard the words of El, the true good, the true God, and knew the knowledge of Elyon, of the Most High, which saw the vision of Shaddai, the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him. But not nine. There shall come a star out of Yaakov, Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Yisrael, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom, Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Yisrael shall do valiantly, powerfully. Out of Yaakov shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, the first of the Goyim, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Ashur shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas! Who shall live when Elohim doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Kittim, and shall afflict Ashur, and shall afflict Eber. And he also shall perish forever. And Bilam rose up and went and returned to his place. And Balak also went his ways. Hear. Fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Numbers, chapter 25. The doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam, of Balaam. Turn to Numbers, chapter 31, verse 16, Revelation, chapter 2, verse 14, and James, chapter 4, verse 4. Fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Numbers, Numbers, chapter 25. And Yisrael abode in Shittim. And Ha'am, the people, began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people to the sacrifice of their Elohim, their gods. And Ha'am, the people, did eat and bow down, worship to their Elohim, to their gods. And Yisrael, Israel, joined himself to Baal Peor, Baal Peor. And the anger of Yahweh Yahuwah was kindled against Yisrael. And the Yahweh said to Moshe, Moses, take all the heads of Roshay, the Rasses of Ha'am, the people, and hang them up, listen to Yahuwah, before Jehovah, against the sun, that the fierce anger of Yahweh may be turned away from Yisrael. And Moshe said to the judges of Yisrael, slay ye, slay y'all, everyone his men that were joined to Baal Peor, to Baal Peor. And behold, behold, one of the children of Yisrael, one of the sons of Yisrael, came and brought to his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moshe, Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation, the aggregation of Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Yisrael, who were weeping before the door, the petach, of the tabernacle, the congregation of the tent of meeting, the Ohel Moel, 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 Moel. Hear, 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 the maftir for this Shabbat Balak, here at verse 7. Wayare Pina Has Ben El Avar Ben Aheron Hakohena Wayakam Mitoka Ha Eda Wayikah Romach De Yado. Here, here, here for the Maftir at verse 7, Numbers 25 and 7, the Maftir verse. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aharon HaKohen, the priest, the Kohen, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, the aggregation, and took a javelin, Yado, in his hand. And he went after the man of Yisrael into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Yisrael and the woman, through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the Bnei Yisrael, from the sons, the children of Yisrael. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And thus concludes the Torah Aliyot for Shabbat HaBalak. Kavod le'Alu, kavod le'Dinsu, kavod le'Hailu. Glory be to the word, the sound, the power. Kavod le'Abinu, le'Melkeinu. Glory be to Ayinai Father, Ayinai King. Kavod le'Kedamawi, Haile Selassie. Glory be to the first power of the Trinity. Be'Shem Yeshua HaMoshiach. Be'Getachin Na, Be'Men Hanetachin. Be'Yesus Christos.
If tomorrow is Judgment Day,
original Justice Man, champion song,
when I'm standing on the front line, when the Lord asks me what I give it a sound, I would say, Jaja, you know I'll kill them for you, I'll kill them for you, I'll kill them for you.
After the reading of a section of HaTorah, the law, the following baraka, the following blessing is said, Baruch Ata Yahweh Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Blessed art thou, he who be, who he be, I and I, Elohim, true good, true God, King of the universe, universal King, who has given us the law, HaTorah, of truth, and has planted everlasting life in Ainai midst. Baruch Ata Yahuwah, Notain HaTorah. Blessed art thou, Adonai, who givest Ainai the Torah, the directions, the instructions. Jalor. Wa'imru, Amen.
Baruch atah Yahweh, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torat emet. Vaye olam metei Vatokanu Baruch atah Yahweh Notain HaTorah Sheina
Achuch atah
Rastafari. Rastafari.
Yes, yes, yes. Before we ride up, about to ride up with the Haftarah. Stay tuned, stay tuned. Yes, yes, yes. Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadasha. Just some interesting notes and texts. One particular note is, I think, in Balaam's first, his first prophecy is in Numbers. Let's see, one of the prophecies, Numbers 24 and 9. It should read, he couched, he lay down as a lion and as a lioness. A lioness, I think it's an old lion or great lion, but acts as a lioness, lost in the translation right there. He couched, he lay down as a lion and as a lioness, who shall rouse him up? Blessed be everyone that blesseth thee, and cursed be everyone that curseth thee. We have that there. And then we also have, what was the other place right over here in Numbers chapter 24, Numbers chapter 24, and which verse is verse 24, Numbers 24, where it's supposed to read, behold, a people that riseth up as a lioness. Behold, a people that riseth up as a lioness. And as a lion doth he lift himself up. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey. That word right there, so we have lioness is lost in the translation, but recovered here. We the black Jews, the lion, the tribe of Judah, recover that. And when it says in Numbers chapter, what's this, chapter 20, 24 over here at verse 18, it says, while Israel doeth valiantly, or say to do Hayil, or say Hayil, doeth Hayil, as Haile Selassie, Haile power, doeth powerfully. Where Yisrael, or say Hayil. So we have Hayil also in them heart, but let's zoom in on those verses where the lion and the lioness, so we can see even in the Rastafari revelation, that balance, also the lion and the lioness, features prominently in the scripture, in the Hebrew, from the Hebrew perspective, but it gets lost in the translation.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadasha. Aliyot, 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 aliyot.
So we hear the Haftarah. The Haftarah of the prophets read in Micah chapter 5, focus verses 6 to chapter 6, verse 8. Baraka.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bachar b'nebiim tobim veratzach b'debreihem haneamarim ba'emet. Baruch atah Adonai habocher b'torach ובמשה עבדו, ובישראל עמו, ובנביאי האמת והצדק. Blessed art thee, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art thee, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Yes, I, yes, I. Book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 6, to chapter 6, verse 8. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian, when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from Yahweh, Uruku, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob
shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thy hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh Buruku, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. Thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hand. And I will pluck up the groves out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy thy cities. And I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Chapter 6. Hear ye now what Yahweh Buruhu saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, the Tararoch, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear, Shema, ye O mountains, Yahweh's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For Yahweh Buruhu have a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Yisrael. O my people, what have I done to thee, and wherein have I worried thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses and Haran and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak the king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim to Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of Yahweh Buruku. Wherewith shall I come before Yahweh, lifnei Yahweh, and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what Yahweh Buruhu doeth require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Elohim Buruhu. Amen. Every day, may God pray to be righteous. Just roll up these bliss, let me light this. Yeshua humble, she here, he ignite this. The teachings of his majesty, priceless.
Yes, 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 Micah, give thanks, Rastahar, right there, the Micah reading. Micah chapter 6, Micah chapter 5, verse 6 to chapter 6, verse 8, right there. And just zooming in, just take note of chapter 6, verse 4. For I brought thee up out of the land of Mitzrayim and redeemed thee out of the house of bondage, house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam. See that Hebrew Trinity right there in the Egyptian context, very interesting. But let's pick up right here, to the Brit Hadasha. And this is for what Balak wanted right here, turbulence. Turbulence, no wizard. No wizard.
Rastafari is my keeper, yeah. No witch, no wizard, no
roach,
no lizard, no
locust, no cobra. Let's ride up Brit Hadasha, the Adis Kidan, Braka, right here,
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Asher Natan Lanu, Moshiach Yeshua, Weha Baruch, Shel Habarik Ha Hadasha. Baruch Ata Adonai, Notain Habarik Ha Hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
the Chadasha Chadish Kidan Renewed Covenant reading for RSS 40, Balak, the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 11, verse 25 through 32. We begin, B'Shem Ha'ab, V'Habein, V'Ruach HaKadosh, Yahweh Ahad, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Romans chapter 11, verse 25, Kaf He, verse 26, Kaf Wow. Ki lo akachel mikem achai et hasol hazet, pen tehu chakamim be'anekem, she'israel ba liyede timtum halib lemiktoto ad ki yekanes milea hagoyim wekein kol israel yewashe'a kakatub uba litzion goel oyashib peshah mi Yaakov. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, that ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel is yet to be saved nationally, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the patriarchs, for the fathers' sakes. For the gifts and callings of Elohim are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed Elohim, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For Elohim has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Kabur lakalu, kabur ladimtu, kabur lakhailu, kabur lakedamawi, khaile salase, be Jesus Christos sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power, glory to Abinu Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, to Mesken, Xiavi, Yemesken, Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus
Christos,
Jesus Christos,
yes, yes, got the reading forward right there, looking forward to the first day service, aka Sunday service, first day service coming up in about 7 or so minutes right here on this platform, Rastafari Israelites as well on the YouTubes. So come, make a reason, some more to reason on right here. The lioness right there, the people shall rise up as a lioness. And how about El? El is not a man to lie. El is not a man that lies.
God,
El is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Do it? Do it? Do it? Do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Get good? Get good? Get good? Behold,
the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. So Melkam, good Ehud, first day, Ehud from the Ahad, Ehud, the first day, Melkam Ehud, yes, I. Shavuot Tov, Shavuot, the seventh to come, Tov, beautifully good, yes, I. God bless the eye, keep the eye, and I, and I, cause his face, his grace to shine on I, and I, give I, and I, Yeshua, Shalom, victorious, Shalom, peace, overcomer, prosperity, life, health, strength.
It's time for Israel to praise their King, Almighty Elohim. We know that the times are changing. People don't lose their spirit, grow away. It's time for Israel to praise their King. Yahweh, Yahweh is His name. Our Karibah and our help while we're living this way. Living this way. Sit between the cherubim. Your praises is high in Zion High.
Jahola Iris, rather than I and I physical being. I and I have come into Jah world as Jah eternal light, so that all who have Jahola Iris will never exist in darkness. I and I have not come to judge Jah world. I and I have come to only save Jah world. Though there is a judge for them that do not accept I and I, Jah word that I and I utter shall serve as their judge on Jah last day. I and I can only utter Jah word of commandment, for it is Jah Most High who commands I and I on what to say and how to speak. I and I know that Jah commands our eternal life. Hence, that is what I and I speak. Jah, Haile Selassie, Nisanet, Nisanet, Nisanet.
Yes, yes, yes. Shalom, Havim, Shalom. Forward, forward, forward. First day, Melkam Ehud. Yom HaRishon Tov, a good first day service beginning right now, 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 on the air and in the island. Come, come, come. Mekanai Reads on his 40th sabbatical study for Shabbat Balak. And what's up with Balaam? What's all this talk about Balaam, the doctrine, the way, the era of Balaam? Come, come, come. Give ear, call in, call in, call in. S.I., it's the Farai. It's time to call in.
Call in, call in, call in to hear the full of full now, or hopefully catch it on the replay. Replay 515-602-9761 to hear.